Diamond Answer Man, beauty, purity, and size. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Diamond Answer Man show, where our goal is to help each other learn more about the world of diamonds and feel confident about our purchases. You may reach me at diamondanswerman.com, where you can leave me a voicemail message, and I'll look forward to how we can help each other. I'm very, very excited about this particular podcast, because this podcast will reveal to you a very exciting and easy way to help you feel more confident about your diamond buying experience and, more directly, your engagement ring purchases. Hello, everyone. My name is J. Christopher Gritz. I am the Diamond Answer Man, and I'm really, really happy to be with you today, and I'm looking forward to just working through this process which I termed BPS, which will help you feel very, very good about your diamond purchase. And one of the things that helped me develop this process was all the individuals I've worked with over what became maybe almost 15 years of working with engagement ring customers, and I've been doing it almost 28. It's a long time, almost 40,000 hours of experience. Sometime around the middle 1990s, around 95, I personally became sort of disgruntled in the whole process of selling engagement rings. And the main reason for that was people coming into the store started feeling like it was work, and they weren't really enjoying the whole idea of having to buy an engagement ring. And it took me a while to figure out what it was that we, as a community, that means the entire jewelry industry, had sort of developed a process for selling diamonds, which really pushed the customer in a direction that made them feel like they were never doing the right thing unless they bought the most rare diamond they possibly could. And that in itself helped people buy, or pushed people in buying, more expensive diamonds and putting their priorities maybe not in the right place. So with my experience working with diamond polishers, diamond wholesalers, even doing some diamond polishing work and developing designs myself, and then working with one of the most advanced diamond polishing facilities in the world, all of this sort of came together with all this experience and the sales training that I had, and it sort of brought together an idea, a heartfelt idea, to help individuals I was working with feel good about what they were looking at and helping them prioritize. The education we had out there drove us in the direction of rarity. The sales literature, which, by the way, you can actually still see if you go from store to store, you'll see sales training pyramids. They rotate around. They're a diamond buying pyramid. Or maybe you'll see something a little bit older, a linear scale. And if you look at those scales, it drives you up in the direction, telling you subconsciously that if you buy lower, you're getting something inferior, and therefore not representative of what you should be giving to your bride-to-be. And that may or may not be true. So the development of the scale helped us simplify those rarity characteristics, to put them in priorities that made them important. So the BPS scale develops an effective prioritization of what's important, or I should say what's important to you, not what's important to me, because what's important to me is going to be different than what's important to you and what's important to the next person. So how you feel about whether something is important or not is going to help you make better decisions. So how you use the scale separates rarity characteristics into three filters. So BPS, what does it stand for? What does it stand for? BPS stands for beauty, purity, and size. So it's beauty, B, purity, P, and size. By taking all four rarity characteristics and placing them further into more simpler scales or a system will help you make the right decision for you, not what the right decision would be for the jeweler who's trying to sell you something or the vendor on the internet, because that's what they have. So you'll be able to figure out where you're going to look to make something a priority. So BPS, beauty, purity, and size. So if we look at the first letter in that category, beauty, what is beauty? And I think it's very simply put that beauty is performance. Performance is beauty. So beauty would be how well the diamond sparkles. It scintillates. It's fire. It's contrast. So that's what the cutter or polisher did in the final process of that diamond before it went to the jeweler. What the polisher did, and what they always do, is always related to the final weight and price. So, but what they did to create a diamond that performs well or not, and whatever they made them the most money. So it really doesn't matter. So if it performs well, a high performance diamond is going to be more beautiful. It's going to sparkle more. Sometimes you'll see charts, like on the pyramid chart, they'll put something on the top of the chart, which will show the light coming in from the top and back out from the top, or in from the side and back out from the side. It'll show you this. And that's a very, very rough simplification of a high performance diamond. And there's all sorts of terms that people will use for high performance. But a high performance diamond would be one that returns the light that comes into it and it comes back out. And it shows you that dance, that play of fire, the bright white flashes you see to your eye, the contrasts, the differences in each facet as you move it around, how it sort of dances for you. Then a mid-performance diamond, so something that doesn't perform well, might have areas that look cloudy, or overall the stone may appear smaller, but it still performs okay. A poor performing diamond would look darker, would look lifeless, sort of flat. And then what you need to know is that performance, so the overall sparkle and scintillation and all those things that we see in a diamond, go into affecting the other characteristics, purity, and then size. So you have to figure out what's important to you, beauty, purity, or size. And beauty is defined as how well the diamond performs. And then you go into purity. And purity would be separated into two categories, the color and the clarity. So the more pure a diamond would be, the more rare it is. Just like the more beautiful a diamond would be, the more rare it would be. It's rarity characteristics. Purity, rarity characteristic number one is color. So the color of the diamond and where it falls on that standard chart, from colorless all the way down to light yellow, faint light yellow, everything in between, those factors affect value. But if you don't care about the color as much as you care about how beautiful the diamond is, then you need to sort of adjust your scale. But if you care about the color more than you care about how something sparkles, then you need to adjust the scale there. What you need to know, whether you're looking at a linear scale or a pyramid scale, the linear scale starts off at D and goes down to Z, and the pyramid scale starts off at D, and then it goes down to the two other categories, E and F, and then it goes G and H and I and J, and it goes all the way down till that bottom wide section where it's got it all the way down to Z. So the pyramid scale or the linear scale, what you need to know is a high performance diamond will give the impression, the overall appearance in that face up. That's a trade term when we say face up. Face up means that it's in the ring wearing position. How diamonds are graded for color, they're actually graded upside down, so you don't see all that sparkle and scintillation. So in that ring wearing position, face up, a high performance diamond will be brighter and therefore may perceivably face up wider. A low performance diamond can appear darker and therefore in that face up position may perceivably look yellower or browner, even if it's not, because it looks lifeless. It gives us that perception that it's that way. So if color, if you need to have a decolored diamond and that's the most rare you can possibly get because that makes you feel good, then you need to look at the decolored diamonds. You need to buy a decolored diamond. But if for whatever you want to spend, if you have to give up in other categories, you can prioritize the color because you feel that's what's important to you. But remember, it is a purity characteristic. All that does is tell you that less of those come out of the ground than another. So, color, a high-performance stone can appear brighter. A low-performance stone can appear darker. Both of those appearances will affect your perception of the color of the diamond. Doesn't mean that it's reality, but it affects what you perceive. Then the second category for rarity would be clarity under the purity scale. If you look at that linear chart, or if you look at that pyramid scale, of course, flawless would be at the top of that chart, all the way down to what they would consider an imperfect stone, right? Or I3. So a diamond that's higher on that chart is more rare, all the way down to something that is a lot less rare. So a high performance diamond, so let's go back to the performance factor. A high performance diamond, because of its sparkle, because of its scintillation, because of the life that's coming back out of it, may obscure both white and dark inclusions because you'll get all those different contrast reflections in there. Make it harder to see. All you see is brilliance and scintillation. You don't see an inclusion unless the inclusion is too large. A low performance diamond may contrast, or like a window, you'll be able to look right in, seeing the inclusions, making it a lot easier to view. However, if clarity, which is a purity factor, is more important to you for what you're going to spend, if you need to have a flawless diamond, then that's what you need to do because it's representative of what you want to give. The same thing with color. If you need to give a D diamond, you give a D diamond, but you can adjust those factors, assigning we would say not necessarily assigning, but categorizing your priorities. So you can adjust your color or clarity, and you can adjust that with your cut, your performance factor, all of those things, rarity characteristics that affect value, and you can prioritize them so you give the gift you want to give, representative of what you want to give. So clarity, a stone that is cut poorly may contrast or window inclusions for ease of viewing. A high performance diamond may obscure both white and dark inclusions. So you have to figure out what's important. Again, beauty, cut, performance, purity, color or clarity, and then thirdly, you have size. So size is the physical width and depth. So if you were to measure it from side to side and then top to bottom, it's also weight, but we'll talk about the physical width first. A well-proportioned diamond that's also a high-performance diamond will look bigger or look perceivably bigger, even though it measures smaller. A diamond that performs really well that's 3/4 of a carat may look as large by perception once it's set as a 1-carat diamond that does not perform as well. This will make it look bigger, therefore it'll have more, and it will, not therefore, but, and it will have more sparkle, it'll have more scintillation, it'll have more fire. So one of the things you changed as far as size was you went down in weight, which is the other category we're going to talk about, but you went up in beauty, so you've adjusted your cost factors, your rarity, and it may be actually less for you to buy a 3/4 carat than it would be a 1 carat. And the same thing would be true as if you were looking at a 3 carat and a 2.5 carat. Or a 5 carat and a 4 carat, or a 5 carat and a 3 carat, you can get diamonds that will perform better, and therefore look larger, more beautiful. A poorly proportioned stone, so something that looks narrower than it should, or deeper than it should, will look smaller. It'll look darker. Maybe it'll be lifeless. And then one that's shallower and wider, maybe lifeless, but it also could look flat and maybe cloud-like in appearance. But again, it looks bigger. And maybe what you want to do is get a diamond that's less expensive as far as cost, right? It looks bigger, but it weighs less. But it looks huge. And maybe what's important to you or important to her when you're giving it is how big it looks. So therefore, you have to look at that category, and you might put size as your higher priority over beauty, over purity, and over clarity. So you could prioritize size higher, and then you can adjust those other factors. So it'd be SBP as opposed to BPS, or PSB, purity. Purity is more important. My color and clarity is more important to me than how beautiful the diamond is. Me personally, we're talking about me now. I'm not talking about you. I always prefer beauty over all other factors. How well something sparkles is far more important to me, because that's what you see across a room. You don't see the color and you don't see the clarity. And I have other podcasts where we'll talk about figuring what's important to you as far as color, figuring out what's important to you as far as clarity. Those other factors, I'll help you develop a system in there, or at least understanding the system as it's laid out, and where it really will affect what you see after you buy it. And most of it, this is the secret, it doesn't affect anything you see afterwards. The color or the clarity, although there are those few individuals out there who have those eagle eyes, most people will not see the differences in color or see the differences in clarity, but what they will see is the difference in the performance, how well this diamond sparkles. But it's not about me. It's about where your priorities are. So you may have to have the most pure diamond as far as clarity. Maybe you'll have to adjust something as far as color. Maybe you have to have something really high in beauty. But then you adjust something as far as size. It'll help you simplify the process once you figure out that everything is related to rarity. But beauty affects what you see. Purity, color, and clarity may not. Size you will, but size is also related to how well it performs. Then you also have that other category under size, which is its actual weight. You're going to have to figure out if it's important to you to give something that weighs a magical even number. If it weighs 0.75 or 1.5, or 2.00 or 0.25. Magical numbers tend to cost more because they know this when they're pricing out their systems and their scales. They know that you're going to feel like a 0.77 isn't as good as a 0.80. A 0.87 isn't as good as a 0.90. A 0.95 isn't as good as a 1.00. So you have to figure out, is the weight important to you? Does it matter whether it's right on the nose or not? But remember, actual weight on the scale is a rarity characteristic. So you may want to give something that's a 1-carat stone, and you may feel that that's your highest priority. So you may have to adjust something in another category, color or clarity, or maybe you adjust it in how well the diamond performs and buy something that isn't a high performance, but maybe a mid-performance diamond. Or maybe you don't care at all, and maybe you go for the biggest looking diamond you possibly can by width. Because when she puts it on her finger, you want her to be able to show someone and they go, wow, that's huge. Or maybe you want to say, or maybe when you give it to her, you want her friends to go, wow, that's beautiful. Wow, that's really sparkly. But most often people aren't going to go, wow, that's a really white stone. Or wow, that's a really flawless diamond. However, again, that's not what matters. What matters is how you feel about the purchase. So the more rare something is going to be, the more costly it's going to be. And how do you feel about that? How do you feel about its color? How do you feel about its clarity, purity? Those are rarity factors. How do you feel about its size? How do you feel about its weight? Is it important to you? Because that will cost more. How do you feel about its performance? Because when it performs better, or it's a high performing diamond, those are far more rare and they cost more. But you might be able to adjust something and adjust some other category and really be able to deliver a fantastic engagement ring that you feel so good about, that you never have to second guess or never second guess yourself after you've given it or when she shows it. I think that should be your overall goal. So wherever you fall on your BPS scale, beauty, your purity, your size, adjust those where you want to go. What's more important? Because it's different for everyone. Adjust those little categories that you fit your rarity characteristics in and find out what diamond is important to you, not what the chart shows, not what the scale shows or the pyramid, and not what the jeweler says, not what the diamond broker says, not what the internet guy says. Figure out what's important to you first before you go out. Because when you go out there or you read the standard literature, you're going to find out what's important to you is a VVS1F color. And that may not actually be true. So I hope you really have enjoyed this simple, short podcast on the BPS system, beauty, purity, and size. I do look forward to hearing from you, helping me make this podcast and other podcasts in the future. I also look forward to hearing from you about further questions you may have about the BPS system, or maybe you have a completely new question, and I'll look forward to that. And you can reach me at diamondanswerman.com, and you can send me messages, or you can leave me a voicemail message on my hotline. I'll look forward to hearing from you. And just maybe, if you give me a really, really good question, I'll look forward to developing a podcast over that question. And if it's okay with you, just leave your first name and last initial, and I'll happily give you credit for that question. Again, my name is J. Christopher Gertz, and this is the Diamond Answer Man podcast, diamondanswerman.com.